another episode of She Speaks Stories. This is Katie.
And this is Julia.
And we're so excited to be together and to share another story of a woman in the Bible and how the stories of these women, even though they were thousands of years ago, really can connect with our stories today, giving us maybe some wisdom, some insight, some courage, some hope. And so Julia is up today telling the story of Rahab. I can't wait to hear what you have to say about her, because she is an interesting character.
I know. I honestly had only, you know, the story, Sunday school basis of her story. And so it was really fun to dig in a little bit and learn what, maybe why, a little bit why her story is in the Bible. So I'm just going to go for it. Okay. Are you ready?
Jump right in, my friend.
Let's do this. Okay. So the story of Rahab, as I was saying before, it might be a Sunday school famous story that you've heard, but it also might be new because it is not a huge, she's not Mary, mother of Jesus famous, in my opinion. She's maybe a low famous chick, but she is still very important. Her story is in the Old Testament, but it is so important that it made an impact enough to be mentioned in the New Testament. Rahab's story is an example of God using ordinary to do extraordinary. Taking the last person that you could ever think to do a task, very important task, to do it. It exemplifies how powerful faith in God can be and how our story is bigger than we can even imagine, but it's part of God's perfect design. And I love these stories because it's not like, oh yeah, the strong guy did a strong thing. The really wise girl did a really wise thing. It is someone that you would not expect to do something incredible, doing incredible things, which means the power of that incredible action is from God. So cool. Okay. So some people may not think they may think that the Old Testament is kind of boring because it's old. And when you think old, you think, oh, past, it's been done. It doesn't mean outdated. It doesn't mean it's not relatable. Rahab's story takes that doubt and it throws it out her scarlet roped window, which is a Rahab joke right there. Sorry, I had to throw it in.
Throw that in there.
You know the story. That's part of it. Okay. Okay, so there might be a lot of history and poetry and customs and numbers in the Old Testament, but all of those things are saturated in who God is. It's the framework for the incredible story of Jesus as our Savior. So get excited, because this is part of the story of Jesus. Good. Okay, so we're going to go on a little tangent here. Do any of you remember the Be Like Bill meme that was going around? Katie, do you know that one?
Be like Bill?
Be like Bill. No.
Now, who is Bill and why should I be like him?
Okay. let me explain for anyone that doesn't know. I think it was like 2015 or 2016. There was this stick figure drawing. You guys know stick figure, basic little man drawing. And next to it, it said a variety of facts. So this is an example of one of the Be Like Bill memes. It would say, this is Bill. Bill sees that it's snowing. Bill doesn't look on Facebook to see that it's snowing. He looks out his window. Bill is smart. Be like Bill. And it was kind of a ding on people that use social media to like see obvious things where you could just look out your window instead of checking. And there was a bunch of different varieties where they would, you know, different things that Bill did. But in the end, Bill is smart, be like Bill. Okay, so we're going to use that format as we set up the story of Rahab, because we want to be like Rahab.
We do? We want to be like Rahab?
We do.
It's going to be interesting.
I know, right? Okay. All right, so this is Rahab. Now you'll have to imagine a little stick figure. Maybe she'll have like a skirt triangle dress instead of the little stick figure legs, because she's a chick. Okay. we're going to set the stage. So Moses had led the Israelites out of Egypt and through a lot of wandering in the wilderness. They were on their way to the promised land. But when Moses died, Joshua took his place as their leader. The story of Rahab starts in the second chapter of the book of Joshua, the very start of Joshua's leadership. God, on repeat, tells Joshua, be strong and courageous. It is in almost every chapter, anytime Joshua has to go do something, before he does it, God says to him, the reminder, be strong and be courageous, because God is with him. And I love that. It's just a side note. Because God knows exactly what we need to accomplish the hard things. He knows, and he knew that Joshua needed to hear, hey, be strong, be courageous, because I am with you. Now go do this hard thing. And this same God is generous in the same way, giving us the reminders that we need before we do hard things. So that's just a fun little God is good tangent. Okay, so in order for Joshua to do his job, his role as leader now, he needed to remove the current dwellers that were at the promised land. And the land of Jericho was his first big target. Okay, so Rahab is a prostitute in Jericho. She's minding her own business as much as a prostitute can, when two spies came to her residence seeking a place to avoid detection. Her home was located on the city's wall. And just like the spies in the movies that we watch, you know, where do they go? They want to find a crowded, dimly lit social place that's easy to stay kind of hidden under the radar. So Rahab's home was the perfect place for them to do that. But little did they know that the lady of the house was on their side. So they were just thinking, okay, we'll blend in. Nobody wants to be seen here. This will be fine. But they really had Rahab on their team. It says in Joshua 2 that the king knew of Rahab's place and that she probably had interacted with the spies. So she was a popular location for visiting men to go to. And the king knew that. So the king told her to bring the men to him. And her reply is in verse 4-7. Rahab had hidden the two men, but she replied, yes, the men were here earlier, but I didn't know where they were from. They left the town at dusk as the gates were about to close. I don't know where they went. If you hurry, you can probably catch up with them. But actually, she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them beneath bundles of flax that she had laid out. So the king's men went looking for the spies along the road leading to the shallow crossing of the Jordan River. And as soon as the king's men had left, the gates of Jericho was shut. So Rahab did the old look over there routine and covered these strangers, which was really, really nice of her, because we're on team, you know, Israelites, Joshua. We want them to be able to take over Jericho and be in their promised land because we know the big picture. But why? Why would someone hide the enemy and not only keep them from danger, but like actually aid in their escape? She didn't just block them. She was doing acts in order to keep them from being captured. Okay, and here's why. Verse 8-11. Before the spies went to sleep that night, Rahab went up on the roof to talk to them. I know the Lord has given you this land, she told them. We are all afraid of you. Everyone in the land is living in terror, for we have heard how the Lord made a dry path for you through the Red Sea when you left Egypt. And we know what you did to Sihon and Og, the two Amorite kings east of the Jordan River, whose people you completely destroyed. No wonder our hearts have melted in fear. No one has the courage to fight after hearing such things. For the Lord your God is the supreme God of the heavens above and the earth below. So why did she help them? Because God's reputation. She had heard the stories. Stories change lives. She has heard
I've heard that.
She heard the stories of what God had done for his people, the miracles, the provisions. She and her people were terrified because they believed, keyword here, believed these stories were true. She believed God was capable of what he said. And that is Rahab's faith.
While you were saying that, when you said she had heard the stories, in my mind, I was like, but she not only heard the stories, she believed them. Because how many people heard the stories of Jesus Christ doing miracles, maybe even saw miracles?
Right.
And yet they refused to believe that he was God.
Right.
In the flesh. They refused to believe that a powerful God wanted to interact with his people and save them.
Yeah.
So I get where you're going with this Rahab thing. When you first said we need to all be like Rahab, I'm like, wait a minute, isn't she the one that was a prostitute? Julia, I can't be calling us to be like Rahab in that way. And I knew, obviously.
Right.
We're not telling us, hey,
no, let's not
profession. That. Let's get out there, lady. I knew that. So I like that. She heard what God was up to and believed. Okay, so on the story.
So that's Rahab's faith. Hebrews 11 starts off defining faith, being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. That's what the verse says. But then it goes into example after example of people in the Bible who demonstrated their faith and what their faith resulted in. So not just that they had faith, but how they sort of used their faith. Guess who's on the list? Rahab. This is where she gets brought into the New Testament. Okay, so Hebrews 11:31 says, by faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. When our faith is activated, the results is works. So some people have a hard time with faith and works and thinking that we have to do works in order to have faith. But there is a way that we can look at it that makes sense, that the works are a result of the faith that's already there. In James, we find a verse, even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead being by itself. Works are that result of faith. Okay, so here's a way to kind of understand it. Our faith is like an apple tree. If it's healthy and growing, there will be apples. If not, it's just going to be a tree standing there, fruitless. It can still be there. It's just not growing and alive and active. The apples are what help us see that the faith, the apple tree, is alive and growing. That is the result of our faith. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to look for Rahab's apples of faith. Back to Joshua chapter 2, Rahab tells who she believes God is, then requests that they save her and her family from the destruction of the city that she knows is going to happen because she knows God's reputation and he's going to do what he said. She tells them specific instructions of how to leave the city safely because she knows her city and she knows how they can escape. And they give her instructions to demonstrate she indeed believes who God is because they need to see now that she's not just, I mean, it was nice of her to hide them. But let's see. Do you believe? What is your faith? Let's see the works as a result of your faith now. Okay, so she's going to demonstrate them. Verse 17 through 20, she says, before they left, the men told her, we will be bound by the oath we have taken only if you follow these instructions. When we come into the land, you must leave this scarlet rope hanging from the window through which you let us down. And all of your family members, your father, mother, brothers, and all your relatives must be here inside the house. If they go out into the street and are killed, it will not be our fault. But if anyone lays a hand on people inside this house, we will accept the responsibility for their death. If you betray us, however, we are not bound by this oath, if any, in any way. Okay, so they requested these three things. These are her apples of faith. One, mark the wall with a scarlet rope. Two, gather her family. And three, keep it a secret. These works are really awesome, but not because of what they are. Mark a wall, get your family together, keep a secret. But they're amazing because she does them. She keeps her end of the bargain because they are the works from her faith. And because of this, she is the first recorded convert in the Bible. She shows her works through her faith. Her conversion is stated in Joshua 2, verse 11, when she tells us who God is. For the Lord your God is the supreme God of heaven above and earth below. She did not say, you say, or you think. She said, the Lord your God is the supreme God. So she declares what she believes. She knew who he was, and she wanted in. She wanted to be on his team and be one of his people. So her apples of faith, her three works, demonstrated that she wasn't just saying these things. She showed them that her faith was real. And real enough to be accepted into their world. I mean, she then married a Jewish man who demonstrated that she was really in, because then she was part of his family and she became the mother to Boaz. Now that's a whole other story. I mean, I won't go into that, but Boaz is Ruth's hero, and he wouldn't even existed if Rahab hadn't stepped out in her faith to demonstrate her, or in her works to demonstrate her faith. Hadn't married into God's people, she wouldn't have all of those apples of faith. So even though her works seem not incredible, they led to incredible things. And that's nice that she helped Ruth. Good for her. But she had no idea what that meant in the grand scheme of things, in the big picture. She was just demonstrating her faith. And that's the application right there. That's it. This is the sweet spot. We don't know what God has in mind. And we don't know what elements in our story will affect other people's stories. So they may feel or seem insignificant, but it's almost like a domino effect that it has on other people's lives and other people's stories. You don't know who your great, 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 great grandson could be. And for Rahab, it was David, who became king and fulfilled the prophecy of Jesus coming from the line of David. So those little steps that she showed enabled her to make bigger steps that enabled prophecies of who Jesus said he would come from, and he did. How cool is that? Oh my gosh, a huge reminder, if you ever need one, that God's in control. He knows our stories. He's the author of our stories. And for me, it's just like encouraging to know he's got us. It's also an exciting challenge. We're apple trees, guys. We need to produce the fruit. We need to show our faith with faith apples in the anticipation that these works will affect our stories, other stories, in God's will, for his glory, which is what it's all about. Our job as apple trees is just do those little things, grow those apples, and let God use that fruit to do his good work. So this is Rahab. Rahab hears the stories of who God is and believes them. Rahab acts in faith against the odds to follow God and belong to his people. She fulfills the prophecy of Jesus coming from the line of David. She is part of God's perfect plan. Even though she doesn't know it, she acts on faith and huge things come to play. Rahab is smart. Be like Rahab.
Isn't she mentioned in the lineage of Jesus in Matthew's gospel, or one of the Gospels. She's actually mentioned. I'm like, okay, how cool is that? Here the woman was a prostitute. She wasn't even Jewish. And why? I love your conclusion. Here's why. Anyone
that
believes in God, it doesn't matter their past. It doesn't matter their heritage, their race, their family of origin. It doesn't matter what destitute circumstances they find themselves in. I mean, why is she a prostitute? Obviously, she is destitute, or she wouldn't have. Why do you have that, you know, profession?
Right.
It doesn't matter.
Right.
If your eyes are opened and you hear the stories of God and you choose willingly to believe he's good, he's all powerful, he's for us, not against us, and he will change your life. You believe that?
Yeah.
And then you act upon it. She wasn't hedging her bets.
No.
Okay. I've heard these stories. All right. I'll kind of hide you maybe, but maybe I better tell the king too or something, you know.
Right.
I mean, I could picture myself being wishy-washy, like, okay, but can I really, I mean, this is life-changing
stuff. Right.
And yet she hides them. She follows through one small thing at a time. I also love your application, Julia. Small acts based upon her truly believing in God with huge ramifications. Sometimes we think, if I can't do something big, why bother? We all have a little cog to play in the big wheel. Absolutely. We all have a storyline written into the bigger story that if we don't carry it out, the bigger story really is affected.
And it takes the pressure off us to sort of decide what matters and what's important and what's not important. And we're not the author. We are not the storyteller. We are in the story. And our job is to just do that. Just show the faith that we have, make those apples, and let God use them in the ways, big and small, that he needs to in the story.
I love that, Julia. And really, even your apple tree analogy, you said if the tree is healthy, the tree produces the fruit. If the tree is not healthy, it's still there, but it's just standing with no fruit. Right. And truthfully, our job, we can't a tree doesn't push the apples out. It's healthy and the apples grow. In our lives, we really can't push out these faith nuggets and, you know, all right, I'm going to set my will and I'm going to go out and be the best Bible teacher ever. And I'm going to help the poor and I'm going to save the lost. And I'm going to, you know, I'm going to do all these great works. We can't push those out. What we can do is make sure the tree is healthy.
Yes.
And then the Holy Spirit within us pops.
Right. It's like our roots are deep in the Word of God. Our leaves are absorbing all of the sun's, God's, you know, in prayer. There, you can spiritualize all the aspects of photosynthesis that creates the ability to, all we can do is absorb.
Grow that fruit.
And you're
right.
It's
make sure our tree is getting watered with the water of the Word. Without water, that tree is going to shrivel and die. And so many, not so many, but I mean, I hear comments like, well, I just don't really have time to read the Bible. You know, I go to church every now and then and hear a good sermon, or I might listen to a podcast every now and then. Is your tree getting enough water?
Right.
If you want to have healthy, delicious fruit, make sure you're getting enough water. Or how about weeding? How about weeding the tree? You know, if we're all caught up with all kinds of stuff in the world and we have plenty of time to watch movies and Netflix and be on social media all the time and, you know, shopping and world, none of that is bad. But if that's all we do, is it choking out the health of our faith tree? if you right? will.
Absolutely. Right? Absolutely. Yeah. If we need and to be
get a the pests, yes. keep the pests away. Like right. just the, there's so much deception out there. And I know my own self, I'm asking for wisdom in some certain subjects, but I'm also asking for protection from pests, which yes. my mind would be, you know, just like insects that want to infiltrate my mind and kind of eat away at my faith and like eat away at the apple tree and right. infect it so that I am fruitless. And we don't want to be fruitless. Right. We want to right. be like Rahab.
Yes, exactly. And not to like get nitty gritty, but like some pests seem not so bad, like, you know, cute little ladybug or something, but she could chew on your leaves too. So we need to be wary of what are good and what are not. And I feel like the only way to do that is to keep our roots deep in the word, to have that discernment and be in prayer to know, okay, this is where we need to be. And I feel like obviously Rahab, Old Testament, she was a new convert. She was new at her belief, but she was still willing to put her action where her mouth is. She was still willing to do that. So I think for us, that can be part of it, where we just stand up for what we believe. That can be a starting point to just say, okay.
And even at the risk, really, of her life, she didn't know yeah. how it was all going to come down. Right. And imagine the king sends for you and you stand before the king.
Yeah.
Oh boy. You're yeah. caught deceiving like that and hiding the enemy. Not only are you done, your whole family's done because they're hiding in the house with you.
Yeah.
you know? And she doesn't know the outcome in advance. We don't know the outcome in advance. All we can know is we hear the stories of God and his greatness. We can choose to believe or not believe. If we choose to believe, then we ask for the courage to act on it. And that's what you mean by be smart, be like Bill or Rahab. Yeah. Yeah. Not in all her past life, but yeah. in right. her choices. Right. Exactly. It's smart. It's smart to believe those stories
yes.
about God and then act on them. Julia, thank you for giving us more fuller picture. Rahab.
It's fun to see how stories, even stories in the Old Testament, do change lives. Hearing this and this kind of in-depth, more direct to who she is. I mean, it was inspiring and encouraging to me to just step out in my faith a little bit, to not right. be afraid.
And not just take the, like you said, the Sunday school version. Yeah. And this is so beside the point, but I will never forget when I first read the story of Rahab and they said, tie a red rope in your window. Yeah. I had heard of red light districts, and they called them red light districts where prostitutes
lived,
and they put a red light in their window to show. And somebody, I don't know if I was taking a Bible study or what, but somebody said, well, you've heard of red light districts. That's where they get it, is from the Bible. I'm like, whoa, okay. Yeah. Stories change traditions. And Rahab putting a red
rope
in a window to indicate this is the house of prostitution. So and now we have red light districts. Like I said, that has nothing to do with our
point. I mean, but it's good to have that connection of like where you first heard the story. I was probably 5 or 6. And I remember we had a really boring lesson before that. And this lesson was exciting because we got to cut a red piece of yarn and tape it to our little Sunday school page. And that is my first, I was like, oh, okay. Yarn, tape and yarn. It's a good day.
At least we get to do something with this. Right. It is important to take stories that maybe you've heard over and over in various stages of your life, to keep reading them and not like, oh yeah, I know that story. I've heard that, blah. Because obviously you grow, you change, you mature, and you get more. So Julia, thanks for giving us more of the story of Rahab. And listeners, we love you so much. And we hope you're enjoying these stories of women in the Bible, and we hope you take time to ponder and think, okay, what out of Rahab's story could connect with my own story and give me a little bit more courage or a little more excitement to go out there and do those tasks that your God has called you in your own faith to go do that you don't think are very exciting or very, you know, helpful to the world and furthering the kingdom.
Yeah.
When it could be as simple as the 1, 2, 3 of Rahab, and then, oh my goodness, she's in the lineage of Jesus Christ himself. So
yeah, be like Rahab, grow those apples.
Be like Rahab. We love you, listeners.
Love
See you.
You
next time.
Bye.